Nog of seagulls, two nogs don't make a right, and what was it? It was the Wizard of Nog. Our German friends celebrate Nogtoberfest every year, and our comrades in Russia enjoy a nice Kognog here and there.
Away in a manger, no crib or a bed.
Oh, that's great! Merry Christmas! Thank you so much!
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is Gabe. I'm a student pastor here. And Merry Christmas, y'all. Can you believe we're just a few days away? Can you believe it's already here? I mean, I know like we say that every year. It's like, man, it went by so fast. But this year, it like really went by fast, didn't it? I mean, didn't we just have like Easter? I mean, that's what it feels like at least. But I love everything about the season. I call myself a Christmas crazy person because there's nothing about the season that I don't enjoy. I love Christmas shopping. I love listening to Christmas music. I love wrapping presents. I love all the things that go with the season, the ugly Christmas sweaters, everything, all the decorations, looking at Christmas lights, everything about Christmas I absolutely love. So it kind of is a little sad whenever it comes and goes so quickly, but we know that before too long it'll be right back here again, won't it? So just go ahead and leave your lights on your house. You know, it's cool, you know, save yourself some time, just unplug them January through November, plug them back in next year, you'll save a lot of time, okay? That's your time-saving tip for the day. I'm going to go ahead and apologize for my voice. I'm going to hack and cough a little bit. I've had a little bit of a cold, but hopefully we'll be able to get through today as we look at, we've already talked about, Away in a Manger. But before we get to that, I have to tell y'all about two really cool things that I was able to experience this week. On Thursday, Leslie and I were able to go to Charlotte to the processing center for Samaritan's Purse where they process, it's one of the locations where they process shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. So I just want to tell y'all this because y'all were a part of this. The Charlotte Processing Center, Thursday when I was there, today, they had processed 2.4 million boxes just at that location alone. It was incredible. It was so cool. I'm not sure how many boxes we sent, but we participated, and we're going to grow that ministry and participate again next year. But I'd always wanted to be there to help with, you know, you got to go through the boxes, make sure all the items are appropriate and pack it correctly and all that. And I always want to do it, but every year whenever I thought of it, they already had all of the volunteer. It fills up really quickly. But I have a friend from Winston. Her work was going, they had some extra spots, so we were able to go. And we show up Thursday morning. And they said, I didn't know it was the last day, but Thursday was the very last day for processing at the Charlotte location. And they've got places across the country, and they had record-breaking involvement this year at every center. But they said, we've already processed 2.4 million, and we're down to the last 10,000 boxes. Today's the last day. We've got to finish it today. Well, I was there in the morning shift, and they said, typically, we finish and do the last box in the afternoon shift. So we started working. And our team of about seven, and then the whole warehouse was full of people. We processed just over 10,000 boxes on Thursday alone, and it was so cool. They gathered all of us around this big platform, and they had the very last box, and they did a ceremony of we prayed over that last box and all the boxes. They set that box in the big cardboard box, taped it up, and sent it down the line, and celebrated record-breaking involvement this year. So I just want to say, as a pastor here, thank you so much for being involved in that. And we do seek to grow that ministry next year, but you have no idea the lives that you'll touch. The items that were packed in boxes, it's incredible the stories you hear about how every box, it's incredible how every kid gets exactly what they need in a box. There's no way that would be able to be done outside of the power of God. So it's so cool. Thank you so much for having involvement in that this year. I hope to do that next year, and that's hopefully something we can take the teenagers to next year. It was so much fun. The next really cool thing that I was able to be part of this week is a little more lighthearted, but I really want you to experience this as well. I don't like to brag about anything, but I just want to fill you in on something. Most of you know I work here at the church, but I also work at Joy FM Radio in Winston-Salem. And this week, who was able to go see the Star Wars movie this past week? Anybody see Star Wars? Got some Star Wars people in here? Okay, just a few of you? Man, okay, well, man, I was really hoping more people. I haven't been able to yet, but I plan to. Well, I never thought that this early in my career in radio that I would have such an incredible opportunity, but I want you to take a listen. I was able to be part of a very cool interview with one of the cast members from Star Wars. I want you to take a listen.
It is our high honor this morning on Joy FM, Daniel, Melody, and Gabe, to have, after what a crazy week, this is kind of an exclusive here, we have on the air with us this morning, Chewbacca from Star Wars. After such a crazy week, thank you, Chewbacca, for waking up with us early here on Joy FM. Oh, it's good to hear you. Wow, I mean, up bright and early and chipper this morning. Melody has a question for you.
So, Chewbacca, I have to be honest, you do great work. The movies are fun, la-di-da-di-da. But what do you have to say to the person who's just a casual fan of your movies, kind of like me?
That's it. So, I mean, pretty much. Okay.
So, did you find it more difficult to get your Christmas shopping this year, you know, with all the movie premieres happening and everything?
Oh. Good question. That is a good deal. Well, let me stop you right there, though. I got another question here. It is Christmas time. Surely you've got like a favorite Christmas memory. Is a little Chewbacca? No.
I can see little Chewie doing that. Yeah. That's perfect. But now, so I feel pretty confident, Chewie, that bargain shopping isn't really a necessity for you. But I mean, I've got to ask: do you still enjoy a good sale or a good bargain?
No.
No. It's overrated, he said. I think
it is.
Melody, yeah. I mean, are you understanding exactly what he says here?
Do you have any more questions? Yeah, I speak complete fluent Chewbaccan.
Well, Chewbacca, thank you so much for spending time, precious time here with us on the Morning Joyride. It's been a real honor. Any parting Christmas wishes for anybody?
Merry Christmas to you too, Chewbacca.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Daniel Britt.
So if you ever, when you do see the Star Wars movie, I just want you to know Chewbacca's a great guy. We were on the phone with him for quite a while, and that was really cool. So shameless plug there for listening to the morning show of Joy FM this week. But if it's your first time here, we don't always listen to Star Wars clips. But come back next week as Pastor Ron will close out our series, Carols. But we do like to have a good time here. Now, that was a little lighthearted and fun because today's material isn't necessarily heavy, but obviously it's very serious. Even as we're talking about Away in a Manger, that's kind of typically thought of as a song that kids sing, and we had the kids here sing it today, which that was a rockin' version of Away in a Manger by the band today. Thank you guys for that. That was awesome. But you kind of think of that as a kid's song, but there's a lot of truth, obviously, in the song. We're going to pull out some cool concepts from the song today. Before we look at it, I just want to give you a little bit of history on this carol. It was first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum in 1885, and there's a lot of controversy over who wrote the lyrics. A lot of people think it was Martin Luther, the father of the Great Reformation, but after some more study, people think he's not actually who wrote it. So there is mystery to who wrote the lyrics of it, but it was published in 1885, and there's no mystery that the song has touched hearts for decades and decades. Here are the words to the song again. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side till morning is nigh. There's just something in this song about imagining Jesus being born. There's something cool in this song that we see of God just stripping himself of his glory and then being born in the lowliest of places, showing us that no one is too low for his grace. No one's too far for his reach. But there's a phrase in this song that's used over and over again, and that's what we're going to explore today. And after we look at it, my hope is that the rest of this season, as you hear it on the radio or sing it yourself, and for years to come, that this will help you realize the importance and the truth behind this song. But the phrase that is said over and over again in the song is, the little Lord Jesus. The little Lord Jesus. But unfortunately, in some ways, focusing on just the baby Jesus alone may do a little bit of disservice to us. Jesus isn't just a little 6-pound, 8-ounce baby. There's so much more to him than just picturing him there in a manger. So rather than focusing on the size of a small baby in a manger, let's focus on the lordship of Christ. So the key thought for the message today, if you're taking notes, it'll be in your program or on YouVersion. It's this: Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is Lord. So what exactly does that mean, that Jesus is Lord? 740 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord. 740 times. And when we look at that, it's one of the most quoted phrases in this song that mentions the Savior's birth. We see him called Lord. In Luke chapter 2, one of the very first mentions of Jesus coming to us, we see in that phrase alone, Jesus is announced as being Lord. If you look in Luke chapter 2, the context here, the shepherds are out in the field, they're watching over the sheep, and an angel appears to them, and the angel says this: "Do not be afraid." Now, I remember last year when I brought you a Christmas message, I addressed this, but I'm going to address it again. The way that we picture angels typically is not completely accurate. Because you have to think, if an angel appears to a group of men out in a field, now, let me just be real with you for a second. If these guys live in the fields with animals, they're not, you know, they're not dainty girly men. I was trying to think of a better way to say that. These are men's men. These are big, burly guys that live outside, hunt for a living, fight off wolves and animals from the sheep. These are big, burly guys that you would not want to meet in a dark alley, all right? And an angel appears, and the angel, the very first thing that the angel says is, "Do not be afraid." So I just want to help what you picture in your mind that angels look like. The angel that appeared to them was not some little fat baby in a diaper shooting a little Cupid arrow at them, all right? This was an angel of the Lord, the messenger of God. I won't say he was frightening looking necessarily, but he definitely wasn't some little wimpy girly man looking of a baby with wings, all right? It was a big, fierce looking maybe creature that was the messenger of God Almighty. And out of nowhere, they're just there in the field minding their own business. And out of nowhere, the sky completely blows up with light. And now this angel has appeared in front of them. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Don't run away. I have some good news for you. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord." The very first time that the angel announced that the Messiah is finally coming. You got to think, this was big news to the shepherds because they had been waiting on this event their entire lives. And their parents had been waiting on this event their entire lives. And their grandparents had been waiting on this very event their entire lives. For generations and generations and generations, all the way back to, you can look in the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis, whenever God promised a Messiah would come, a Savior would come and would save people from their sins. No longer would you have to make animal sacrifices and just temporarily cover your sins. But one day, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect, sinless, without blemish Lamb would come for your sins. This was a big deal to the shepherds. They've been waiting on this event. But I don't think any of them were expecting to be the ones that it would be announced to. But the very first time that the angel says, "Your Messiah is here," the angel says, "He is Christ, the Lord." At the very beginning of this story, it's established that Jesus, the Son of God, is born. He is the Savior of the world. But the big question for us to deal with today is, what does that mean to us today? What is the relevance of that in 2015 compared to thousands of years ago? If Jesus is Lord, what does that mean in everyday life? If we're married, what does that mean in our marriage? If we're dating, what does that mean when we're dating, when we're finishing with school finals? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord when we're finished with finals? If we're Christmas shopping, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord when we're shopping? If we're filling up our gas tank before we go to work, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? If you're on your way to work, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord in your everyday life? What does it mean to make Jesus your Lord? Well, there's a Greek word, it's in your notes, and it's the word that is translated as Lord. It's the Greek word kurios. And this word kurios means supreme in authority, controller, Lord. Think about that. Supreme in authority. No one else is above him. The ultimate, the top dog. Controller. Lord. That's who Jesus is. That's who that baby in a manger is and was. Whenever I see that word controller, I can't help but think, especially this time of the year, when I was growing up, I loved remote controlled cars. I just thought they were the coolest thing ever. And I was so upset one time. There was this truck that I wanted. And it wasn't, you know, just like your little dinky one. It was a Chevy Silverado extended cab. I'm not kidding you guys. It must have been this big. It was massive. And I was so excited because I saw this big box under the tree. And I just knew that's my truck. That is my Silverado. I finally got my truck. And it was one of those that on the remote, it pulled out, the big antenna pulled out, the metal. And the truck had, I can't even tell you, it just had really cool features, all right? It was silver, too. It was just such a cool-looking truck. You would like it. It was a silver truck. You'd like it. And I played with it a few times, and I was sitting on the couch one day, and I had my controller, and I think, like, the batteries were charging or something, and I pulled out that antenna from that controller, but when I did it real fast. You know, it was metal, and it just kind of snapped. And the truck wouldn't work anymore without the controller. And I'd be lying to you today if I told you I didn't shed a tear or two over not being able to drive my truck no more. I was really mad about that. And it was so hard to go back to college the next semester after not having my truck. Okay. It was rough, y'all. But the truck wouldn't work without the controller. Think about that. Jesus Christ, supreme in authority, the controller, Lord. And I can already imagine for some people, and definitely for me, to you, the word controller, that's a little bit of a challenge, because if you imagine Jesus as the controller, then that means he's got a little bit of competition in you, right? Because we all like to be in control. We all like to be sitting at the steering wheel. We all like to have the remote in our hands, figuratively or literally, sitting in front of the TV. No one touches the remote but you, right? We all like to be in control. Some people will be considered maybe even a control freak. You just absolutely don't know what to do unless you are the one at the controls. You're the one that has to be in power. You want your day to go a certain way all the time. Some people, are you any list makers? In the room, I'm a list maker. I'm so much a list maker that if I've already completed something that wasn't on my list, I'll write it on my list just so I can check it off. Anybody else in the room? Real time, real talk? That's right. It's just this feeling of accomplishment. I'm like, yes, I was in control of my day and I accomplished all of this. We love to be in control. We want our days to go a certain way. We want life to go a certain way. We want the Christmas season to go a certain way. We want things at work to go a certain way. And many of us have to be in control all the time. Well, what does it mean that Jesus is the supreme authority, that Jesus is controller, that Jesus is Lord? What does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of our life? Now, let me be just a little technical for a second that I feel like maybe even I've said this wrong before. A lot of times, maybe at the end of a church service or at a conference or something, someone will say, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? And that's a true statement, but I don't want to be misleading. No one makes Jesus Lord. Whether you decide to or not to follow him, he is still Lord. The point of it comes to be whenever you decide if you're going to allow him to have control over your life. You see, that's where free will comes in. That's where Jesus Christ came to this earth for everyone, but everyone has to make that personal decision to say, yes, I want you to be Lord of my life. Because since the beginning of time, since Jesus was born that night when the shepherds were announced his birth by the angels, all the way up to today, December the 20th, 2015, everyone through all of time has had to decide one of three things about Jesus Christ. There were people that thought that Jesus was a liar. Whenever Jesus started his ministry and he said, I am the Son of God, and he told people who he was, and they said, you're crazy, there's no way that you are God's son. There's no way, because when our Messiah comes, he's going to be mighty and rich and have this great following. He's going to build his kingdom here right then. There's no way that you are God's son. You are a liar. Others thought that Jesus was a lunatic. They said, you are absolutely crazy to think that you, someone that doesn't even have anywhere to lay his head, you are poor. You don't even have, you have to wear the same clothes all the time. You have to go eat. Oh my goodness, you eat with sinners. There is no way that you are the Son of God because you associate with people that want to have nothing to do with God. You are absolutely crazy. There are ones that said that Jesus was a liar and people that said that Jesus was a lunatic. And there are people that said that Jesus is Lord. Since that night in Bethlehem all the way up to today, people have made one of three decisions about Jesus. Two fall in the same category of rejecting him, and one accepting him. So no one elevates Jesus to the position of Lord. He's already there. I quoted to you a few weeks ago, Philippians chapter 2, that God gave Jesus the name that is above every name. That one day, at the very mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in all of heaven and all of earth and under the earth. One day, everyone that has ever drew breath will say, Jesus is Lord. He's already there. But it's just the fact that if you make him that in your life, you have to give him the remote. You have to give him control. There are so many people that live this way. We're going to look at two different ways. The first way of surrendering to the lordship of life, or to the lordship of Christ. There's so many people that fall into this first category. It's the partially surrendered life. What we're going to call today, the partially surrendered life. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus was talking about the wise builders and foolish builders. And speaking of the foolish builders, he said, okay, guys, here's what I want you to go ahead and call me. And he said to them, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? He was talking to people that were just partially surrendered to his lordship. Really what Jesus was asking them, he says, why are you giving me just lip service? Why are you saying some things, but your actions don't show it? I don't want lip service. I want your life service. I don't want a bunch of talk. I don't want you to just talk the talk. I want you the actions to match that. Jesus is saying, why are you calling me Lord? Why are you saying, yes, you're the controller of my life, but then you turn around and you do just whatever you feel like doing. Jesus is saying, this isn't a game. This is real stuff. But unfortunately today, I believe that there are a lot of people who would say, you know what? I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But I'm still going to do whatever I want to do. I believe that Jesus is Lord, but I'm just not going to trust him with quite everything. And so before long, we end up practically by just the way we live. We take the Bible and we say, you know what? When it comes to relationships, I know what the Bible says about it, but I think I got this figured out this time. Hey, I've been there. I live in that world too. When it comes to our jobs, we say, I know what the Bible says about being a good steward and being honest and having integrity, but I really think I got it figured out this time. I think I can justify this. When it comes to our time and the way that we live, we're supposed to give God our time, but we say, you know what? I'll give Him Sunday. I might give Him some special services here and there, but for the most part, my time is my time. I'm not going to fully give anything to Him. And Jesus says, hang on now. Wait a second. Don't call me Lord and then just go on and do whatever you're going to do. Why do you call me Lord but don't do what I say? Jesus later said to His disciples, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's the partially surrendered life. In your outline and on the screen, you'll see Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I want to read for you, but I took this from the PSV version of the Bible. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. And in some of your ways, acknowledge Him, and you can make your own path straight. I took that from the partially surrendered version of the Bible. That was a joke. That's not real Bible, y'all. I just want you to know. Like, you can go ahead and mark that out of your outline because I would hate for someone to pick that up and be like, you know what that church is teaching, y'all? Let's go there because we can do whatever we want at URI. This is awesome. Man, we'll be packed to the brim next week, y'all. But you know what? That's what a lot of us do, isn't it? Sometimes knowingly and sometimes we just, it's so common, we just do it without really even thinking. It's just kind of second nature. But here's what I want you to understand. Because we are no part-time sinners, Jesus is no part-time Lord. I want to say that again because I really want you to get it. Because we're not part-time sinners, Jesus is not a part-time Lord. He doesn't want part-time followers. When you come to Him and He asks you to give you your whole life, He says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a daily surrender. He says, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. You give it away. You surrender it to Him. And you come under the lordship of Christ. He is the supreme authority. He is the one who says what's right and what's wrong. He is the one. It's not that we can pick and choose what we want to do and just say, well, I believe this part of the Bible, but when it comes to this over here, that's just too crazy. I can't do that. We're not part-time sinners, so Jesus is not a part-time Lord. Here's what I want to ask you before we go any further. What area are you unwilling to give to God? Maybe just identify one. I think if we all took some time to examine, we would see that there are many areas. But this morning, I just want you to take just a small step and just say, what one area of my life am I unwilling to give to God? I've been gaining weight. My double chin's hitting my microphone here, y'all. It's a little rough. I don't have my regular microphone on. Testing 1, 2. Right. What area am I unwilling to give to God? For me, sometimes it's food. Okay. Gluttony. Kidding again. But seriously, it could be a number of things. But I want you to be really, really open and honest before God and put a name on whatever it is. So for some of you, it might be you're willing to trust God in all areas except for the way that you raise your kids. Saying, I'm going to do this my way. I think I've got this figured out. They're my kids. I'm going to raise them the way that I want, no matter what the Bible says about that. And I'm going to worry about it and do it on my terms because that's just how I'm going to take care of it. For some people, it's in your job. For some people, it's the way you handle your finances. For some people, it's in your marriage. Whatever area, if there's something in your life that you're just simply not willing to hand over to God. When I was 18 years old, for me, what I was unwilling to hand over to God was my career. Because when I was going into my junior year of high school, that was this, over the summer, I answered the call to ministry, and I said, I'm going to be a preacher. That I'm going to, whatever God wants me to do, in whatever capacity of ministry, that's what I'm going to do. So through my junior year of high school, there were churches in my area that would call me, I'd go and preach. And then my senior year of high school, I thought, well, that was fun, but that's just not what I'm going to do. And so then I started pursuing a career in elementary education. So I went my first year and a half of college, three semesters, taking classes, building up to, I said, you know what, God, it's really cool that you want me to preach, but, and I tried to justify everything, even though I knew that wasn't the direction that God wanted me to go. And I said, well, God, you can have my Sunday morning, and you know what, I'll do whatever you want throughout the week after I get off work, because, you know, the school system's really jacked up, and we need some good Christian teachers, and that's very true, and thank God we have some that attend this church. We have some incredible Christian teachers that attend this church. I'm so thankful for your witness. But, and that's what God has for you, but for me, that wasn't it. But I tried to justify it because I love kids, and I thought, I want to be around kids, and that'll just be a lot of fun, and I'll have summers off. See how that worked out? And I said, God, you can have all that, but I'm going to take care of my career, okay? I mean, I'll still do things every now and then, but I'll be a Christian school teacher. I'll do me, God, and you do you, okay? We're going to work this out. For me, it was my career. I was not willing to give that to him. In that area, I was half-hearted, lukewarm. I was distant to God's promises and what he had shown me without a doubt. And in some ways, in a lot of ways, I became a part-time follower. So I want you to be just as honest as that and say, what area of my life am I unwilling to surrender to God? What am I not fully surrendering to the Lordship of Christ? Because in one way or another, myself included, everyone, in some way we're living a partially surrendered life. But I want to tell you that Jesus did not come to this earth to be born in a manger and live his entire life here so that we could be part-time Christians or convenient Christians. But there is another level of surrender. It's what Jesus wants for us. And for those that fall into some category in the partially surrendered life, I want you to know that there is forgiveness and freedom from that. You can actually step into the next part today, and that is the fully surrendered life. Not just a Sunday Christian, not just a convenient Christian, not just a God bless America kind of Christian, but a sold out, fully surrendered life. Holding nothing back, telling God, my life belongs to you. I love what Paul wrote in Romans 14:7. He says this, 7-8. He says, For we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Think about how he worded that. It doesn't matter what you can throw everything into those categories. Your career, your marriage, your raising your kids, what you do when you go shopping, vacation, interaction with anybody. You can throw all of that into the category of if we live. All of that. Whatever you do, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. The Kurios, the supreme authority, the one in control. Here's the deal. When Jesus shed his blood and died for you, He offered the availability of a free gift to you, salvation. It's by grace that you are saved through faith, not of works, because no man can boast about it, because it is the gift of God. The gift of God given to you. Salvation costs you nothing, yet it costs Jesus everything. But when you say yes to a fully surrendered life, those rights no longer belong to you. They belong to Him. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Gabe, if I came here today to hear something really great and uplifting, you're just sitting here telling me to give everything up and then to whatever He wants me to do. That doesn't sound any fun at all. Why would I do that? I can tell you from experience, in just a short 27 years, and if you want to hear all the stories, pack a lunch, and I can tell you how many times I've messed up, put it in my own, taken control myself, and in the middle of it, fought through because I'm just stubborn like that and thought, man, I can take care of it. I'll figure it out somehow. I tell y'all what, if you put every mistake I ever made and printed it in a book, the Library of Congress couldn't fit it all. You're saying, man, I'm supposed to give everything up. Well, I can tell you from experience, if you give it up to Him, trust me, it's going to be a whole lot better than anything that you could come up with on your own. Every time, all the time. It's this trust of giving up control. That's the basis of what giving control to someone is trust. And if you have an issue giving up control to God today, it could boil down to a trust issue. I think really the ultimate trust, now I don't have kids yet, but I think when you let someone, a friend, you know, they have kids, I think when you let your kids go somewhere with someone else, I think that's the ultimate trust. My parents all but beat that into me whenever I started driving, and friends would go somewhere with me if I was the one driving. Tell you what, I got a 5-point sermon lecture every time. Because they made sure the importance to me of you have someone else's life in your hands. If you're driving, their life is in your hands. Don't mess it up. I think that's the ultimate trust, is letting someone else take your kids. I don't have kids, but I'm sure every parent in the room would say that. Parents, grandparents. Have you ever been in a car with someone and their driving made you a little nervous, but you were so tired? You really wanted to go to sleep, but you just couldn't let yourself go to sleep because you were afraid of what would happen if you did. Because, you know, you got to sit there, you got to be the backseat driver letting them know, there's a stop sign, you might want to slow down. But that was a yellow light, okay. And you just can't let yourself, but you're so sleepy. But have you ever been with someone that you just completely trusted them? It never even crossed your mind that no matter where they took you, it was going to be all right because you trust them. That's not an issue. And you could lay your head back and go to sleep without a single thought because you trust them. I think it would boil down to today, if we have an area of our lives that we're not trusting God with, we're not fully surrendering our lives to Him, it all comes down to trust. Even though He's given us an incredible track record of His faithfulness and His love to us, my prayer today is that you'll trust just a little bit more today than you did yesterday. And Tuesday morning, you'll trust just a little bit more than you did yesterday. And by this time next week when we meet again, you'll trust a whole lot more than you did today. And next Christmas, when we're sitting here singing Christmas carols and talking about fun opening presents and looking at Christmas lights, you can say, man, 2016 was a blast because I actually let God do some things. I see He's waiting to, if we just give up the control and just let Him, He just sat up there saying, oh, would you just let me do this? Would you just give up control? I have such incredible things for you, things beyond your wildest imagination, beyond your craziest dreams, if you would just let me do it. But it all starts with just trust Him a little bit more today than you did yesterday. Just trust Him a little bit more. Let me read for you what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 really says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. I read this verse several years ago out of the Living Bible, and I read that in a totally new way, because that's a very recognizable verse, which is great. That's one that a lot of people have committed to memory, just like John 3:16 or 1 John 1:9 or Ephesians 3, 5, and 6, Philippians 2. They're common verses that people have committed to memory. The danger with that is a lot of times we can skip what the verse is really saying, because it's just like, you know, rattling off some words. So I actually read this in a different translation with a little bit of different wording, and it just jumped out and grabbed me like crazy. Let me tell you what the Living Bible says, and this just blew my mind. The Living Bible says, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. Mic drop. I mean, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. And I'm reading that, and it's like God is saying, Gabe, you're a dummy. Why do you trust yourself? You can't trust yourself. You're not trustworthy. God is saying, I'm trustworthy. Why do you try to fix it every time? Trust me, not yourself. In everything you do, put God first. I read that, and it absolutely blew my mind. And I thought, all these years I've been reading, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. And then I read, trust the Lord completely, don't ever trust yourself because you're a dummy. That's exactly what I read, and it's true. Here's the bottom line. The reason that many of us don't surrender some area of our life to the Lordship of Christ is because we don't know Him in that area of our lives. We don't trust Him. And the bottom line is, to know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to surrender to Him. Because when you know Him, you know that He is ever-present. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is good in every way. He is holy. He is completely set apart from us. He is holy. No mortal man can look upon Him in His purest essence and live. To know Him is to completely surrender to Him, because He is the reigning King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the ruling King of the universe. And not only is He in some way a powerful God, but He is a relational God. He's not some far distant deity that other religions believe in. Oh, He's way over there and I'm way over here. No, God is relational. Emmanuel literally means God with us. Jesus Christ came to this earth being 100% God, yet 100% man. But He laid aside His God-like characteristics to take on human form. But He did not ever stop becoming 100% God. Try to figure it out and your mind will explode, because I've tried it. He came to this earth 100% God, yet 100% man, for you and for I. That is the King that we celebrate. That is the King that we worship in this little manger. And God sent Jesus. You wouldn't expect a king to come in that way. That's why the Jews rejected Him. They said, now when our king comes, He's going to have this. It's going to be this big pomp and circumstance. He's going to have all these dignitaries with Him. He's going to have all of His royal subjects. You know, thousands of times in history, a baby has become a king. But only one time did a king become a baby. And that's the Lord that we celebrate. The supreme authority, the controller, the Lord. When I read the account of the Christmas story, I always get hung up on the part where people didn't have room for Mary and Joseph. Now, really, it breaks my heart. Now, God knew what He was doing, and that's the way things happen, but can you imagine what the innkeeper would have thought if he knew who he was turning away. Now, that's really all the Bible mentions about the dude. He was the innkeeper, no room, tough luck. We don't know anything else about the guy. He could have been an awesome guy. He could have given a lot of money to charity. He could have believed that one day a Messiah would be coming. He most likely did because of the area that he lived in. He could have been an all-around good guy. You know, a lot of times I fear that when we have just a partially surrendered life, in just a little bit of different context, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, I'll give you this, but I don't have room for you here. I've got room in a little barn outside of town, but here in the nice hotel, I just don't. And in just a little bit different context, it's exactly what we do in our lives today. With a partially surrendered life, we say, Jesus, I just really don't have room for you in all areas. Now, I've got room for you in some places, but just wait, I'll tell you when it's okay. There's some places for you, but not really in all places. I know you've listened to a lot of music already today, but when I was driving here this morning, I was listening to a CD, and this song came across, and I can't help but let you listen to it. This song reminds me of what we do today, even though it seemed like for the innkeeper it was so bad, but in just a little bit different context, it's what we do.
The little town of Bethlehem looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. Oh, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its key. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, Mary shivers in the cold, trying to keep the Savior warm. Among the animals, wrapped in dirty rags, because there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Oh, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its key. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, United States of America, looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky. For the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Would Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America looks like another silent night.
My fear is that a lot of people think that they're all right with just being partially surrendered, when in reality we're saying, God, if I don't have room for all of you, I really don't have room for any of you. The band can go ahead and come up and be getting ready. I want you to go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. I'll pray in just a second, but my prayer today, as I said earlier, is that you will trust God just a little bit more today than you did yesterday. Now, what that means is, maybe if you've never said yes to Jesus in any capacity, you've never said, Jesus, I know that you are ultimately Lord, but I want you to be in control of my life. That would be your step today of saying, I'll trust you a little bit more today than I did yesterday. But for folks that have been walking with Jesus for a while, that would be that one area of my life that I'm just not willing to give up. I'm just going to take one step in trusting you today with that more than I did yesterday. Because you just heard in that song, yes, Jesus came as a meek, lowly baby in a manger, and he was Lord then. But I want to go ahead and let you know, I don't tell you this to scare you. I tell you this because I love you and it's the truth. When he comes back, it's not going to be meek and lowly in a manger. He's going to come back as a mighty warrior. And I love you enough to tell you this hard truth as well. It's not too great for the people that were just partially surrendered. If you need to say yes to Jesus today and say, I want you to be the Lord of my life, the first time I've ever done that, it's really just this simple. You can go into the Christmas season, celebrate Christmas just a few days away in a fresh and new way like never before. You can say, Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth for me. I believe that you were born of a virgin. You were sinless and perfect. And you grew up and eventually died on a cross for my sins. You paid my price. You were buried, but didn't stay there. I thank you for rising out of that grave and living today for me. I accept your gift of salvation. Saying that, something like that in your heart and meaning it, the Bible says that anyone that confesses him as Lord will be saved. You can experience this Christmas season in a fresh new way. This altar is always open if you need to confess that one area of your life that needs to be fully surrendered to God. I invite you to do that now as the band plays. God, have your will and your way in this the remainder of this service. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way in this.